broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Is your soul ready for the truth? Welcome to Be a Slayer, the award-winning spiritual podcast that takes on all the hard topics. Raw, unfiltered, and authentic. No spiritual or relationship issue is off limits. We discuss everything from sex and consent to equality, grief, death, and the spirit world. On Be a Slayer, we will unmask all the taboos. So if you're ready to get right with yourself so you can be right with others, then stay right here. Because the Be a Slayer podcast is for you. Now, here's your host, spiritual empath, shaman, and multiple award-winning best-selling author, Tracy Dunblazer.
Good afternoon and welcome to Be a Slayer. I'm Tracy Dunblazer, and today we are going to be talking about body image, the quest for perfection. Now, I know a lot of you out there aren't necessarily questing for perfection, but our society sets us up to cultivate certain beliefs about ourselves. No matter what your gender is, or your sexual orientation, or doesn't matter who you are in the world, it sets us up to have certain beliefs. Definitely there are gender divides in terms of, you know, women and the relationship with the illusion of perfection, and how we look, how we feel, what we're supposed to look like. And by all means, we've made some really profound strides over the last, I'm going to say 5 to 10 years, especially in the last 5 years, but even the last 10 years, many major corporations are really shifting their relationship to the long-renowned image of a pretty woman that's tall and skinny. You know, in the 50s, she was curvy. In the 80s, she, you know, looked like a drug addict, meaning tall or skinny, just no weight on them. And everybody's always had opinions about these things. And so we're going to be talking about everything from societal norms, cultural habits, gender roles and expectations, all the way to the consequences of those things that lead us to disorders like body dysmorphic disorder. So how does your relationship to food and your education and experience regarding your sexuality impact how you see yourself or how you feel about yourself? That's a good question. How does your relationship with food and your relationship to sex, how does that impact you? How many of you out there loathe a part of your body? Right? Everybody's, you know, is there a thing, you know, whether it's your stomach is too poochy, or your legs are too short, or your thighs are too big, or your butt is too round or too flat. Did you know that worldwide, and there's about 5 or 6 select countries that gave the information to this particular study, but in that study, more than 50% of you out there have experienced some form of stigma around weight, either too fat or too thin. Now, I remember, you know, I grew up, my teens were in the 80s, and I remember being 16 and having a great athletic. I was a swimmer, so I had an athletic body. I was tall and lanky and strong, and very, you know, I even have a ripped stomach. Boy, those were the days. But the boy I was dating told me I would be perfect if I lost 5 pounds. I can still remember the outfit that I was wearing in that moment, sitting in his little red sports car. I had this, back in that day, sailor-ish outfits were in fashion, and I had these skin-tight pedal pushers with the two sets of white buttons up the sides, and then a striped crew neck shirt. And I was wearing, they weren't candies, you know, the little heels, but they were something similar to that. And when I think about what I looked like then and how anybody could think, well, gosh, I'd be better if I lost 5 pounds. Now, anybody in their childbearing years, after 25, you recognize that 5 pounds doesn't mean shit. 5 pounds, you can gain it sitting in front of the TV for 2 hours. You know what I mean? You can gain five pounds overnight or lose it overnight. So it's interesting to me that is one of the many that wasn't the first, and I do have a first story of my relationship to what I looked like, how people perceived me, how it made me feel. So, since early childhood, you know, I've had issues around my self-image. And my first negative awarenesses came from the first time a boy called me Thunder Thighs. Now, I remember this is a boyfriend. This is when you got a note passed to you that said, will you go with me? And had the yes, no, and maybe boxes that you checked one of them. Right? So I was sexualized as a child, not because I was, not because I'd had sex, but because, energetically, emotionally, I had a deep understanding of our sexuality based on what I recognize now as my personal spiritual past life imprints. So I came into this lifetime having a deep awareness of, traditional gender roles between men and women, and understanding a deeper or an early consciousness of sexuality. And this boyfriend, we were in the third grade, and he used to call me Thunder Thighs. And interesting, I was watching television the other night, and I don't remember the show I was watching, but they were a mother was explaining to her daughter that because this boy punched her and threw her on the ground, that it was, he did that because he liked her. And that kind of brought it all back. Like, we have created this illusion around our gender roles that a boy likes us if they're mean to us, or if they're rude to us, or they ignore us. Right? That really means that he likes you. He's trying to get your attention. Right? And so in this case, you know, I was a swimmer. I was a great swimmer, but the butterfly was my best stroke back in the day, and I loved it. And you know, I was tall, thin, and really no body fat because I worked out a lot. I never really thought about it. It was just doing the sports in grade school and in high school, so I never really thought about it in the way I think that young people come up in consciousness about being an athletic, being an athlete, being in sports. I think the competition levels are so different, and our awareness of competition really changes a lot of the young people today, their output and their perspective. Either way, here's this boy calling me Thunder Thighs, and I believed him. You know, I think I very promptly, you know, went and told my mom. And so her response was to, you know, I told her, she didn't want to put me on a diet. I told her I wanted to go on a diet, and she said, yes, then I'll do that with you. And it wasn't necessarily a diet. We, of course, started to, you know, count calories. I was 12 years old, and we were counting calories. And my mother's response was to, you know, help me design a series of eating, you know, preparing my meals in advance, having salads at lunch, always having, you know, low-fat items. Though low-fat was big at the time. We didn't really think about sugar, and we certainly didn't know about sugar what we know about it today, which is sugar is a beast, and if you have too much of it, it really shifts how your body metabolizes everything else. So we didn't really have that awareness at the time, but we definitely counted calories and went with low fat and had, you know, plain grilled chicken breast with a, you know, with a tablespoon of dressing for a salad and that kind of stuff. Anyway, but I started that thinking. Now, I already had, just FYI, because I don't know that I've talked about this either, but I already had an issue with food and hoarding food and not ever feeling, like being terrified of not having enough food, right? Unconsciously, spiritually, I already had imprints of lack that, or scarcity, that created a deep-seated fear of not having enough, right? So here I am now wanting to restrict myself, right? So you can imagine the quandary of emotions every day that I experienced with, you know, wanting to eat more but trying to eat less and then being upset with myself because I would, you know, maybe I'll eat a chicken breast and a half. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, I shouldn't have had that last half. And, oh, my good God. Like, when you bring your consciousness to that level of detail connected with the negative relationship of scarcity and lack, you know, it was obviously a recipe for complete discomfort all the time, and of course unhappiness with myself, never getting to feel content, never getting to feel relaxed, never getting to feel like how I am as I am was enough. Right, and that's what we're really talking about when we talk about body image. So let's define body image. First of all, let's go ahead and do that. Body image refers to how we think about, feel, and act towards our body. It is a multifaceted construct. It means that it consists of many different perceptual, attitudinal, and behavioral components. First of all, negative body image can cause so many negative outcomes. First of all, like being depressed or having anxiety, an increased risk of suicidal thoughts, low self-esteem and personal problems, alcohol and drug use or any kind of addictive relationship to, you know, sex, food, alcohol, drugs, even gambling, reduced physical activity, no sex drive, stress, social isolation, decreased motivation to actually get help. Here's a big one, perfectionistic tendencies. When we are not confident or comfortable, you know, even if you're not confident but you're comfortable in your body, right, you don't seek always to be better. And when we're always seeking to be better, we always believe that there's a better out there, regardless of how good we are. And, you know, one of the things that I've really been working with over the years is understanding that the more we focus on what we don't have, the more we get opportunities in our life to see and experience and feel what we don't have. Where when you know, if I focus on my body, I'm like, hey, I look pretty good today. I feel good today. I'm strong today. Today I'm strong. Today I feel good. I may not be the image that I have always seen in my mind of myself, but I feel good today and I'm strong today. You know, my health is good, or my health is getting better. When you start to focus on what is working, it tends to trickle down and shift your whole perspective so that you can cause even more progress into the vision that you have of yourself when that vision is in balance. I do want to say that, when that vision is in balance. So in relationship to you know, when people don't have that, they become perfectionists. Of course, with that comes repetitive negative thoughts, feeling dissatisfied with your body, being focused or obsessive about your body, constantly checking yourself, checking your ass in the mirror, making sure that everything is in its right place. Or, you know, frankly, and I can totally get this one, body image avoidance, completely avoiding any situation that's going to elicit a concern about your body, looking in a mirror, being in social situations, you know, wearing clothing that's going to make you think about and notice the different parts of your body and how they feel to you. One of the things people do, they have a thin ideal internalization, which means they buy into the belief that being thin is going to make you happy, popular, or successful. Of course, the final grand finale to that is body dysmorphia, which is an image disorder characterized by the obsessive ideas that some aspect of your own body or body part is profoundly flawed and hence warrants behaviors designed to hide or fix them relentlessly, right? So there's never any time to be relaxed or comfortable or at ease with yourself, right? And if you imagine not being at ease with yourself, how are you able to be at work, be amongst people, be social, have a relationship, have sex, right? There's all of these different aspects to ourselves, that we don't really realize to the degree at which how we feel about ourselves helps us function in every other aspect of our life. So I just wanted to give you a few little statistics. And these statistics come from breakbingeating.com. So breakbingeating.com is where I got these statistics from. So the first one is more than 50% of adults from the U.S., U.K., Australia, France, Germany, right, we talked about, reported experiencing a weight stigma. 11% of women, 25% of men, and 18% of gender diverse, these are specifically from Canada, adolescents reported clinical risk of muscle dysmorphia. Nearly 1 in 3 health club users reported significant symptoms of body dysmorphia, of which 70% of these had an eating disorder. Wow. 1.6% of young adults report using an androgenic anabolic steroid as a means to modify their appearance. So, body statistics for men. I'm not really going to talk about children today, because if what the adults are doing in the space, that's going to naturally transfer into a relationship that it's going to be the foundation of the relationship that the kids have with their physical relationship to what they look like in their body. So, nearly 15% of Australian men report an overvaluation of weight and shape. In the U.S., adult men, 9%, reported frequent body checking, and 5% reported body image avoidance. Now, moving on to women. In the U.S., adult women, 23% reported frequent body checking, and 11% reported body image avoidance. All right, so that is a lot of people that have a relationship to themselves that leaves no room for peace ever, right? Because if you don't feel good about yourself, you oftentimes don't feel well, you feel vulnerable, your mind is thinking about that rather than focusing on the things that have more deeper value to you, truly in life, or more of an impact on you than your weight actually does. Anyway, so these are the kinds of things that we are going to continue to focus on. One of the things that I have to say about the pandemic is, for me personally, now I've done a lot of work on my relationship to food and my relationship to men and just my relationships to my sexuality. I've really went into, on very deep levels, each aspect of myself. But the thing that really shifted, I came in, just so you know, you guys have probably figured this out by now, but, you know, I don't really care a lot what other people think. I mean, of course I care what people think, but I don't, it's not going to move me one way or the other. I need to be me. I need to feel what I feel. And if you feel something differently, then I support you in that, but it's not going to change who I am and where I'm at. That's always been my mantra, and I've pretty much stayed close to that. But as I did some of this deeper work on myself, it really helped me understand on the unconscious levels all the different imprints that I carried, which really revealed how I saw myself or how I was willing to shift and, you know, move to make other people in my surroundings happy. So when the pandemic came, oh, my God, the freedom of a big T-shirt and stretchy pants, I cannot tell you. I lived for 3 years with, you know, a shower or two a week and big shirts and stretch pants and nasty hair and no makeup, and I had a ball. Anyway, I talk about that in one of the crystal books that I have out right now. We're getting ready to take a break, so I do want to mention here, we're going to move on to talking about next, the relationship to body image and awareness of our sexuality. But I do want to say, get my book, Conquer Your Karmic Relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. You can get it anywhere books are sold. And it is the book to help you with your relationship to food and your relationship to sex and your sexuality and your body image. So stay tuned, and we will see you back at Be a Slayer in a few minutes.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Demblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you honor the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct this power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master your inner world. Embrace your power with joy. Brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Demblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Demblazer. Available where books are sold.
The home for high-quality video is Vimeo. People who love videos love Vimeo. It's the community for indie filmmakers, popular entertainers, music videos. Even the White House posts high-def versions of its broadcasts on Vimeo. You can even upload and share your videos. So much to see, so little time. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Vimeo and get started seeing and sharing great entertainment now.
HealthyLife.net. Where positive overcomes negative.
Hi, welcome back to Be a Slayer. We are talking about body image today. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Now, I just left the last segment talking about my book, Conquer Your Karmic Relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. And we all have predetermined foundations to our relationships with sex, with money, with food, right? And this book, Conquer Your Karmic Relationships, really addresses the understanding and the value of looking a little more deeply at the impressions that you came into life with, and then how they were nurtured in your family or school or work environment. Right? There's who we are, there's what we bring with us into this life, and then there's how people address it. Right? And then how we react to that. That becomes the staples or the bullet points of our lives and who we become as people. So right now we want to talk about the relationship to body image and the awareness of our sexuality, which means how we relate to sexuality isn't only about the act of sex. Sexuality is really the broader scope, topic of our interconnectedness, the way we relate to ourselves, our mind, body, and spirit, the ability we have to witness ourselves, to see ourselves, feel ourselves, and interpret ourselves and who we are on all levels, which is mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Right? So our sexuality is the aspect of ourselves that intertwines all of those levels and allows us to be connected, allows us to cultivate intimacy, and helps us to find peace in vulnerability, right? Really feeling that we can be vulnerable, not only to ourselves and like knowing everything that's going on and not feeling shame for it. This is a great opportunity to talk a little bit about grief and shame, because shame is an emotion that we feel usually in our heart, in our stomach, sometimes in our throat, right? But we feel shame when our spirit is trying to get our attention about something that is important and valuable, whether it's about us or it's about something that we went through, an experience we had, a feeling that we had. Right, but when we have shame of it, we desperately want to hide it, but it is that act of hiding that brings our conscious awareness to the fact that it exists, right? Because if we didn't know that it existed, we wouldn't try to hide it, right? So when you feel shame, your spirit is trying to tell you that, hey, this is important. Look here. Go a little more deeply into this. And see what's there for you. So, another thing that happens when we connect our body image with our sexuality is that we objectify ourselves, or we recognize or allow ourselves to be objectified by others. Right? I went to New York City when I was 18. And I think that every single day that I was there for the first 5 years, at least one person brought up my breast size, men and women. And, you know, 90% of it was sexual, but the other 10% was, oh, my God, your boobs are so big. Oh, my God, how did that happen? Oh, my God, what's going on? Well, how did you get your boobs? Boobs, 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 boobs. You know, and after 3 years of this, I'm surprised I didn't become homicidal, because it really dredged up this internal rage within me of being objectified. And, you know, at that time, I met a lot of young women in New York at the time, and probably young men too, but from my perspective at the time, I had a lot of girlfriends who were making their living or surviving in their lives. And, of course, just keep in mind, this is around 1986 through 90. Right? So a lot of young women or middle-aged women were surviving based on their sexuality, connecting, like objectifying themselves to men for favors, whatever those favors were, whether it was money, rent, food. I remember talking to this gal, and I was probably 20 or 21 at the time, and she was in her early 40s, and she had two kids, and I don't remember what the story with her, the baby daddy. I don't know if she was ever married to him or what the deal is. I know he wasn't in her life, and so she was on her own taking care of these kids, and so she would date multiple men, but you know, she would like them because they would buy her groceries, or they would pay a bill, right? Or what, you know, whatever. Like she would, I'm sure she had sex with some of them, and I know she dated several of them. But that was how she got along. And again, I'm not bringing this up to judge or qualify anybody's way of life. But what I'm saying is that we live in a society that practically requires it of us, especially as women. Sometimes as men, we didn't give women credit cards until, I believe it was 1974. 72 or 74. Somebody can fact check me on that. But, you know, we did not value women. We didn't give them the opportunity to have their own. So this illusion that we needed a man to survive, especially in New York City, was ingrained in us. So how could she not do that? Right? That's a big river to jump to get to a place when you are in that consciousness, and then you have to jump and say, you know what, I don't need you, I don't need your money, I can do this on my own, and I don't have to suffer greatly for it. Right? At the time and prior to this, we haven't looked at our environment, women have not looked at our environment as a place that is nurturing to us. So I want you to chew on that fat for a while, for about 3 minutes, because we're coming up at the ready for the next set of advertisements. So stay tuned to Be a Slayer. We will be back shortly. This is Tracy Dunblazer, Spiritual Empath. Stay tuned.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you honor the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Be a Slayer. This is Tracy Denblazer, and we are talking about body consciousness, your relationship to your body, your how it relates to your sexuality and to your relationship to food. And we were just talking about, you know, how many women are sexualized in our world, whether it's in, you know, it could be physically or, emotionally, psychically, because of how we are objectified or how we are supported in objectifying ourselves or not. And then how people relate to that, because then, you know, don't get me started with religion, and especially all the stuff that's going on right now with abortion rights and how women are allowed to be globally. So, but that's a whole other topic. So I really want to talk about, you know, connecting, this is very interesting, but connecting our relationship to food and our relationship to sex. Those two, there's one place where that intersects sex in our world, and that is through the tongue. I don't know if you know this, but when a baby is created, a fetus grows its little heart, and from that little heart grows the tongue. It is the heart first and the tongue second in the formation of a fetus or a baby. And what's interesting is that that's when we... It's why when people are comfortable with themselves and they are comfortable with intimacy that they're comfortable with tongue kissing. And when they're not comfortable or they disallow tongue kissing, it's because their hearts are closed. They don't want that level of connection. Right? So let's relate that now to food and survival. Right? Because consider that food, not every person will experience a relationship between food and survival, but you know what? Probably almost 30%, I'm making that shit up, but many people in our country are still food scarce, right? They don't have enough. They don't eat every day. They don't eat three times a day. They don't have enough food for that. And so there's a deep relationship to their survival, a very primitive level of survival. Which is related to food. And then food connects to our tongue, which connects to our heart, in the way we taste food, right? And how food tastes to us. Now, it's interesting. It's talking about, for me, one of the things that I have, my relationship to food over time has changed dramatically. And it went from making sure that I ate enough, as many times a day as I felt like I needed, right, to be comfortable, to feel strong, but always, you know, always tipping on the side of excess, right? Over the last 5 years, I've really been digging into the very subtle frequencies of my personal relationship to food and where those ideas of scarcity come from. And one of the things that I go back to conquer your karmic relationships, because the first segment or first major chapter in that book is called Plenty. And it is absolutely about our relationship to food and how, as babies, food is our first relationship to control, right? If we take a bottle or we take a breath and we allow ourselves to receive that nourishment, right, that's a level of intimacy. If we are over-obsessed with that food, we can't get enough food. And then also how we eliminate that food, right? So bottles and diapers are our only form of control. Every other part of ourself and our lives, at least for that first year, is surrendered to our parents, right? So if we don't like something, if a baby doesn't like something, they're going to refuse the food or they're going to defecate on the carpet. I mean, there are all kinds of things that babies / young people, toddlers, right, as they grow, those are the two, like refusing food, determining how and when they eliminate that food. All of those things are the two ways that they begin, because they can't communicate, right? They can intuitively communicate, which a lot of kids and parents and hopefully a mother and child or a parent and child or a fiduciary and a child can connect on the psychic and telepathic level, but so many of them can't. And then a lot of folks that already have food scarcity They may not be in a traditional family. They may be orphans. They may not have parents. They're only a single parent. And when I say only a single parent, of course there are wonderful single parents out there, but it is hard to do it on your own, right, no matter who you are. So all of these different dynamics create a kaleidoscope of how a child is going to relate to their life and their relationship to food. And then as they grow, that relationship to food also turns into a relationship to intimacy, right? So how you relate to food early in life will certainly reveal and sometimes determine, not permanently, but it will certainly determine how you will relate to a friendship or even a sexual partner or a marriage. Right? Any kind of partnership takes a level of trust and a level of intimacy, a connection, to begin to move with one another in a, forward in whether it's a relationship, whether it's a work project, whatever it is, it takes a connection. And based on how you relate to food, sometimes will reveal how willing you are to feel uncomfortable, right? In a situation where you have to trust somebody or your willingness or ability to get to know somebody and to really receive the person that they are, how they are. Anyway, and then all of, a person will express those things through their body consciousness, whether or not they're comfortable, whether or not they're, they're big and they throw it around, or they're little and they try to hide, like whatever it is, doesn't matter which way you go or where you're at and what you look like, it really matters truly on what you do with it, how you perceive it, how you embrace it, how you love exactly who you are, is how others are going to see you for who you are and love you exactly for that. So I'm really excited to talk about, to bring this topic to the forefront, because I think as we're coming up on the holidays, and I think it's really important for people to begin to think a little differently. If you're a parent, you can parent a little differently. We need to go a little more, we need to go deeper into these topics with ourselves and allow each other to be vulnerable and to be kind to someone who is processing these deeper levels of understanding and information. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking about the spirituality of our body consciousness. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dembrazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships, heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you honor the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct this power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunglaser. Available where books are sold.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. And they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to Be a Slayer. It's Tracy Dunblazer. We are talking about body consciousness, body image, the quest for perfection. And right now we're going to talk about the spirituality of body image and its true origins. Now I want you to take a deep breath and just let go of any preconceived idea of what you think I'm going to say, because this is so important. Everybody experiences at some point on some level self-loathing. Now, maybe as an adult or as a child, like maybe as a child you've kind of drummed it out of yourself, and as an adult you've set it aside and blocked yourself. But as a child, when our spirit enters our body and our body is birthed, right, here is the spirit that has been free. It has just been pure energy, and it's been all the places that it's been and had all the experiences that it has, and then it's dropped into a little carbon sack. Right? And then that body is born. And so the spirit in this body, it's got to struggle. That's how it gets to know the body. Is it's like, oh, God, this thing, it's heavy, it's fat, it's heavy, I can't move, I can't, right? That right there, that feeling is what self-loathing is. When we loathe who we are, when we loathe any aspect of ourselves, when we're obsessive about what we look like, what we feel like, how we are, any loathing gets its first relationship to the self-awareness that is cultivated when our spiritual self is required to drop into a body and relearn itself all over again. Right? So just take that in for a second. What happens is that the negative thinking that occurs as we become aware of our spirit in a body, that negative thinking becomes the way we cultivate self-awareness. Right? So negative thinking in this context, it's valuable, it's important, and it's not necessarily bad. It's the way we become aware. Right? When we say, oh, I don't like that. Right? We now have become aware of something we don't like. That doesn't mean that we have to like it. Right? That doesn't mean that we can't now find out what we do like because of what we don't like. Right? So that negative thinking that comes from our first spiritual, mental, emotional experiences of our spirit and our body is the way that we cultivate self-awareness. Now, I want to talk to you about the 10 assumptions that we hold about our appearance. Right? And I want to connect these things to this spiritual sense of self-loathing, right? One of the assumptions that sometimes we make is that physically attractive people have it all. Right? A lot of people like to talk about that a lot. If you've got the angular face, then, you know, you're going to be more successful or have a more powerful mate or, you know, whatever people say about that stuff. Physically attractive people have it all. I don't think that's true. It certainly is not true. It's whatever it is that drives you is what makes you successful. And whatever you have in life is based on what you believe you can have. Being physically attractive may support you in your goals, but it will not create your goals for you. So the next assumption is who I am as a person depends on how I look. Right. That's not true at all, but that's certainly a way that we perceive it. Another illusion is I should try my hardest to look my best at all times. That's a tricky one because I never thought of myself as that. Never, ever. But now having been through the pandemic and like, I enjoy going to the grocery store in my big ass t-shirts with stretchy pants and sometimes I'd walk out with two different shoes, like my you know, just slide your feet in shoes and one would be black, one would be cream colored. I'm like, oh well, you know, whatever. It was really freeing. And then I started noticing people would I know we make fun of Walmart because that what the people who go to Walmart already knew before the pandemic is what I got awakened to was it just doesn't matter what other people think of you. It just doesn't. You decide how you feel about yourself and other people will follow. And I've always felt confident, but I tell you what, it eliminated that whole illusion that I needed to look my best all the time. Another non-reality is when people see me, the first thing they will notice is what's wrong with my appearance. Do you think that when people look at you that they immediately notice that blemish or that your ear is longer than the other or a toe is extra short? Your nail beds are too small. Another one, if people knew how I really looked, they would probably like me less. Another one, by managing my physical appearance, I can control my social and emotional life. I don't know, is that true? I don't think so. My appearance is responsible for nearly all that has happened in my life. Nope, not at all. If I could look like how I wanted to, I'd be heaps happier. I get that. That seems rational. It certainly does. It seems rational. But the truth is, if we could be happy now with exactly how we are right now, we are more likely to build a physique or a presentation that we feel pride in because it stems from that sense of happiness. Right? So loving you exactly the way you are is the thing that builds. It might give you that extra discipline that you want to get healthier, feel healthier, do things to make yourself stronger, you know, give yourself more focus. Whatever it is that you feel like you want to grow and achieve for yourself comes from a sense of appreciating exactly the person you are in the condition you're in. Okay, so at the end of the story, you have to decide who you are, what you want, and how you set boundaries with others to continue to support that. You know, one of the things we see in social media is people say some shit and then they're anonymous, or you know, they'll make nasty comments and then they'll disappear or not respond, right? So there's all kinds of mental, emotional, spiritual, and telepathic pressure amplifying your own self-opinion. You decide who you are, what you want to be, and how you want to get there. Thank you so much for sitting with me today. It's always a pleasure. As always, TracyDunblazer.com. I have a brand new Oracle deck coming out called The Oracle of the In-Between. It's going to be out November 15th, and I want you all to buy a copy because it is fantastic. So check me out at TracyDunblazer.com, and we will see you next time. This is Tracy Dunblazer with Be a Slayer.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for, and the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. And they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.